This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Kisisa, you know, we're almost up to Pesach, but we don't want to overlook the Parshios at hand. And a very interesting topic in Parshas Kisisa is the union of the Ketores. If you look at about the ingredients in the Ketores, the Torah tells us very few ingredients. The Torah says, Vayerma Shema Moshe, Kach Lecha Samim, take spices. What are they? Nataf, Shcheles, Chelbena, Samim, other spices, Levina Zaka, pure Levina, Bad Bevadia, of equal measure. So, if you were just reading the simple psukim, if I were to ask you, how many ingredients are there in the Ketores? Four! What are they? Nataf, Shcheles, Chelbena, Levina. And yet, very interestingly, even though the Torah only mentions four ingredients in the Ketores, the Gemara actually says there were many, many other ingredients that are not listed in the Pasuk. And the Gemara says like this. The Gemara in Krisus, Davava, Mebeis, number 2 on your sheets, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yod Aleph, Samimonim, Nemrulai, L'Moshe, B'Sinai. There were 11 spices that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. What are they? Amar of Huna, Mikra, what does the Pasuk mean? Kach l'cha samim. Now, samim, spices, is an unspecified amount. How many is samim? How many spices? So, miut, samim, shnayim, two. So, you start off with two spices. Then you have nataf, that's three. Shcheles is four. Chelbena, five. So, you have a total of five. Then the Torah says again, samim. So, if the Torah is saying samim, samim is a description of the above mentioned. In other words, another how many? Another five. So again, samim is two, nataf is three, shcheles is four, chelbena is five. Then samim again is another five. Ha'asara, that's ten. Ulevina zaka. And you have levina chad, that's one, ha'chad three, that's 11. Okay? A total of 11 spices in the Ketores. So out of the 11 spices in the Ketores, how many does the Chumash tell us about?
Four.
Four are the spices. What happened to the other seven? Halacha, Lamosha, Misinai. That's why Rashi brings down, Rashi number 3, Rashi on this week's parasha, Mikan Lamdu Rabbi Seinu, from this pasuk, Chazal derive, Yod Aleph, Samimanim, Nemroloi, Lamosha, Misinai, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about 11 spices. What are they? Rashi goes through again. Samim is 2, Nataf is 3, Shcheles is 4, Chelbena is 5, Samim again is another 5, Levina Zaka is 11. So if you're bothered, you know, you're not going to be able to fall asleep tonight. What are they? What are they called? You know, you're going to want to go to your local spice store, Pereg, on Main Street. You want to go buy the spices. I don't think it's open anymore. But you're going to want to go buy the spices. By the way, don't do it, because if you make Ketores unlawfully, it's a very serious penalty. But if you, you know, you want to write down the ingredients in your cookbook, what are they? So Rashi says, what are they? Sari. Tzipiren, Chelbena, Levina, Meyer, Ktsia, not Rabbi Yaakov Emden Sefer, Mara Ktsia. These are two different ingredients, right? Mara Ktsia. Shibolas Nerd, Rashi's going to say Shibolas Nerd are one. Charkoim, that's eight. Okay, you got the list. Then you have Hakosht, Kilufa, Kinamain, right? One of them we know, right? Cinnamon, that's the one we know. So, you got your cinnamon, you got one out of 11. So these are the 11 spices of the Ketores. Tsari, Tzipiren, Chelbena, Levina, Meir, Ktsia, Shibalas Nerd, Charkoim, Koisht, Kilufa, Kinamain. 11. And the obvious problem is, why does the Torah not tell us about 7 of them? Why is it that 4 of the spices the Torah tells us about? And 7 of them, you know, leaves to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Vilna Gaon tells us that what the Torah is doing here is it's being merames. It's alluding to a very important idea. And the idea is like this. The Pasuk in Yechezkel, that the Gemara in Brachos cites, the Pasuk in Yechezkel is talking about the Mizbeach. And the Pasuk in Yechezkel is, you know, vacillating between two different terminologies for the Mizbeach. First, the Pasuk says, HaMizbeach eitz shalosh amos gavaya. It says the Mizbeach was 3 amos tall. And then it says, "Uksiv vayedaber Eli ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem." First, it calls it a mizbeach, and then it says about the mizbeach, "This is the table before God." So the Gemara is bothered. Make up your mind. Is this a Mizbeach or is this a Shulchan? What is it? Says the Gemara, famous Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvayu, calls man, Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, Mizbeach Mechapen. As long as the Beis HaMikdash stands, through what do we gain atonement? Through the Mizbeach, right? The Mizbeach brings atonement. You could bring a Karban Chatas, a Karban Asham, a Karban Oila. You could get atonement on the Mizbeach. And what do we do nowadays that we don't have a Mizbeach? The Achshav Shulchanoi Shal Adam Mechaper Olav. Nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have a Mizbeach, how does a person get Kapara? The table. The table, through a person's table, you get kapara. In other words, a person's table is like his mizbeach. Right? And we're all familiar, right? Remember? The Baba used to tell you, don't sit on the table. The table is... No? Somebody? Right? A mizbeach. Right? Your mother tells you all the time. Don't put your feet on the table. Don't put your shoes on the table. Don't do something disrespectful on the table. Your table is a mizbeach. Right? Don't stand on the table. Don't sit on the table. Right? You have to treat the table properly. Your table is like a mizbeach. Very interesting. Says the Vilna Gaon, if the mizbeach is, in essence, if your person's table is his mizbeach, so a person's table should be reminiscent of the mizbeach. If you look at the ingredients of the Ketoreh, says the Vilna Gaon in a number of places, in the Koil Eliyahu is Kuf Pei Zayin, in the Divrei Eliyahu, Daf Nun Hei and Brachas. If you look at the ingredients that the Torah tells us about, the Ketoreh, what are they? Shecheles starts with a Shin. Levina starts with a Lamed. Chelbana starts with a Ches. Natav starts with a Nun. What do you got? Shulchan. The ingredients that the Torah gives us, right? The other seven is halacha l'mashmi Sinai. The four ingredients the Torah tells us that are the Torahs that we know about spell out shulchan. What does this hint to? It hints to the idea that a person's table is like a mizbeach, right? After all, the ingredients that are placed on the mizbeach spell out shulchan, says the Gra. This is a clear reference to the idea of the Gemara and Brachos that a person's table is like his mizbeach. Right, you could take a look. Let's see in number five, five lines down. Yesh levar al pi remez. You could explain al pi remez. The name in ayin aleph. Samamani aktaris nisparshu b'mikra rak arba meyem. The Torah only tells us four. V'hashar asya midrasha. The rest we derive, right, through the yud gimel midah shatana through halach l'mashem v'sinai. Says the grav inehu arba hamafurashim b'mikra. The four that it spells out. Shcheles, levina, chelbana. Natav spells what? Shulchan. So says the Vilna Gaon, right? That's our contribution from the great Litvish authorities. On the other extreme, the very same comment we find in the Sefer Agra, the Perka, from Reb Tzvi Hirsch, Mizidachev. He says again, Shechelas Shin, Chelbana, Ches, Levina, Lamed, Natav, Nun, spells out Shulchan. What does that teach me? The very same concept that the person's table is like the Mizbeach in the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he says a very beautiful idea. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Anybody lean Shir HaShirim over here? Right? No? So how do I... Right? Mizois HaNishkafa Kimoi Shachar. Shachar. Shin. Yafa Kalavana Levana. Lamed. Bara Kachama Ches. Ayuma akanid galois. These are the four great qualities of Klal Yisrael. We're compared to the morning. We're compared to the moon. We're compared to the sun. We are dignified in banners. Right? Shachar, shin, levana, lamed, chama, ches, nidgalois, nun, shulchan. The person's table. You want to know the greatness of the yid? Look at their table. Don't look at their svarim shrank. Don't look at their tzedakah account. Look at their dining room table. That's how you could tell the greatness of a Jew. The problem, though, is when the Baba used to tell you, don't sit on the table because it was like a mizbeach, right? Which mizbeach was she talking about? We know we have two mizbeachs, right? We have the outer mizbeach, the outer mizbeach, the mizbeach hanechoshes, mizbeach hachitzoin. That's the mizbeach, right? What did you do on that mizbeach? You brought karbonos. You shechted animals. You burnt animals. You brought sacrifices. What ingredient did you add to every single sacrifice on the outer Mizbeach? Every sacrifice has to have what?
Salt.
Why do we have salt on our tables? Says the Rama in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin in Aruch Chaim, Mitzvah lahavi al kol shulchan melach. There's a mitzvah to have salt on the table before you break the bread. Why? Because the shulchan is like what? The Mizbeach. And on the Mizbeach it says, al kol karbancha takriv melach. So since your karbanos need to have salt, you should have salt on the table. So which Mizbeach is Rama saying that our dining room tables should be like? Mizbeach hachitzain, the outer Mizbeach. Right? We know there's a concept that when a Jew eats l'shem shamayim, if you eat for the sake of heaven, right? If you eat a meal, you're not supposed to think, oh, I'm eating this meal because it tastes delicious. You should think a little bit more. I'm eating the meal. It tastes delicious. It's giving me simcha. It's giving me kayach. It's giving me strength. It gives me the ability to daven, to learn, to serve Hashem, to do mitzvahs. When a Jew eats l'shem shamayim, it's as if he's being makriv a karban. He's being makriv a karban. In fact, the Haflah writes, the Panim Yafes writes, that when a Jew eats properly, it's even greater than offering a karban. Why is it greater than offering a karban? He says like this. You have a piece of salad. What, you know, in terms of order of matter, you have different levels of matter. You have something called doimim, right? What's doimim? An inanimate object, right? A rock. Then you have semeach, some plants that grow. You have chai, living things. And the highest order is medaber.
Supposedly, yes.
Right? So you take a piece of lettuce, salad, for those of you who eat it. You take a piece of salad. You you put it in your mouth, you chew it, you digest it, and it becomes you. So you've elevated something which is a tzaymeach all the way up to the highest order into chai medaber. So you've elevated that item. Even if you eat an animal, right? You had a behemoth. You eat a piece of lamb chops. You eat a steak. So it used to be a cow, and now it's you. So hopefully that's an elevation for it, right? Hopefully that's an elevation. In fact, the Gemara says in Amoretz is not allowed to eat meat. You know why? What right does he have to take away the life? Maybe that's why the vegetarians, they don't eat meat. Because for them, taka, it's not an elevation to eat the animal. It's not raising the animal up. But a Talmud Chacham is allowed to eat meat. It's a great thing for a Talmud Chacham. Is doing a great favor for the animal. Right? Why would the cow want to be a cow if it could be the Talmud Chacham? So when you eat the cow, you're doing the cow, you're doing Elsie a big favor. Right? Until now, it's just Elsie. Now it's a Jew that's coming to a shir. So you did the cow a big favor. And in that sense, you're offering a carbon. It's a sacrifice. So the concept that a person's table is like a mizbeach. Which mizbeach? The mizbeach hachitzoin. The outer mizbeach. So what is the Gra talking about? That the words shechelas, levaina, chelbana, nataf, spell out shulchan. These were the ingredients of what? The ketores. The ketores was the incense brought on which mizbeach? The mizbeach hapnim. The inner mizbeach. On that mizbeach, there's no salt. Nothing is eaten. Nothing is sacrificed. Since when is a table like the inner mizbeach? I understand it's like the outer mizbeach. The outer mizbeach, you're eating animals. So on your table, when you eat an animal and you eat it right, so it's like the outer mizbeach. But what? Now we're supposed to be offering incense on our tables? You know? What are we supposed to be doing? You know, smoking, who knows what? What is the Gra talking about? The Gra is saying that the reason why the Torah says these four ingredients of the ketores is because they spell out shulchan, because your table is like the mizbeach. Wrong mizbeach. Get the wrong mizbeach. Okay. Rabbi Sai, you know, you can't forget about Purim, even though, you know, we're already within the embrace of Pesach, we're already within 30 days of Pesach, but, you know, can't help ourselves just to talk about Purim a little bit. Now, the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah that the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asked him, no, Rabbi, what did the Jews do in the times of Haman that they invoked the wrath of Hashem that they deserved, they incurred this great punishment that they were going to be wiped out. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai, like every good Rebbe, says, no, my dear Talmidim, what do you say? So what did they say? They said because they were nene from the Suda of Achashverosh. So everyone asked the question, they were nene from the Suda? Say it straight out. They ate at the Suda. Why does the Gemara say they were nene from the Suda? The Gemara should say They eat at the Suda, right? A lot of people ask this question on our sheet. We have from the Sefer Beis Shmuel Achrayin. Yeah, I discovered it yesterday. But the Sefer Beis Shmuel Achrayin asks this question. Why does the Gemara say they were nenet? What does nenet mean? They derived benefit. I mean, why are we using this vague expression? Just say straight, they ate at the Suda. And furthermore, Reb Tzadok HaKohen asks, what was wrong with the fact that they ate at the Suda? Everything was kosher. Everything was kosher. They had 5 hours, right? The Gemara says that Achashverosh did everything la'asos kirtzayin ishvish to fulfill everyone's desire, Mordechai and Haman. That means Mordechai was allowed to get the greatest hashgacha, right? So every piece of food had, you know, badatz, every hashgacha. You had, this guy doesn't trust that hashgacha, this guy, right? So you had 10 different hashgachas on every piece of food. You had 5 mashgichim there. From every type of Jew was standing over as they shechted the animal. You had a satmer mashgiach, a belzer mashgiach, and there was no questions about the kashrus. There was no food there that anybody wouldn't eat. Yeah? So what did they do wrong? If the food was kosher, what did they do wrong? Okay. So we come to an amazing idea. And the idea is like this. The idea is advanced by the Ben Ishchai, right? The Ben Ishchai tells us, not in the Sefer Ben Ishchai, but in the Sefer Oid Yosef Chai. Right? Anyone have that one? You ever hear? Oid Yosef Chai, the drashas of the Ben Ishchai in Parshas Truma. And he tells us an amazing thing. This idea that we've been saying our whole lives, that a person's table is like the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach is it like? Both Mizbechos. It's like the Mizbeach HaChitzayin, and it's like the Mizbeach HaPnim. So in reality, a person's table is really greater than the Mizbeach, because each Mizbeach is only one. The table is both Mizbechos combined. Look what he writes in number 14. V'asisa shulchan atzei shitim, nirali b'siyata d'shmaya, ha-shulchan hu b'makam ha-mizbeach. The shulchan takes the place of the mizbeach. Kama sha'amar chazal, that bizman beis ha-mikdash kayam, when the beis ha-mikdash was standing, mizbeach b'chapa. V'yachshav shulchanu shalad b'chapa. Gam noida, says the Ben Ishchai, but wait a second, didn't we have 2 mizbechos? Gam noida, it's also known, ki bizman beis ha-mikdash kayam, ha-yulanu shtei mizbechos, we had 2 altars. Shehu mizbeach ha-pnimi, la-hakriv k'tayres, the inner one that we sacrificed, that we burnt incense, the chitzon the karbanos, and the outer one for karbanos, oilos, tamidim, musafim, says the Ben Ishchai in the name of the great Mekubal, Rav Shalom Sharabi. He writes, v'lechein hayro lanu rabbeinu Rav Harashash, Rav Shalom Sharabi, shekol adam yeh nizar. You know what you need to do at your table? Learn about ketayres. Learn about karbanos. Why? Because in effect, your table is both the Mizbeach HaChitzayin and the Mizbeach HaKetayres. An amazing concept. So this idea that we heard our whole life, that our table is like the Mizbeach, which Mizbeach? Both. It has aspects of the Mizbeach that we offered Karbanos. It has aspects of the Mizbeach that we offered Ketayres. Now, what exactly are we doing at the table that is reminiscent of Ketayres? Right? I understand what we do at the table that's reminiscent of karbanos. The Gemara says, if you feed an ani at your table, you feed someone who doesn't have food, you feed them at your table, that's a way of offering a karban. You feed someone who needs a meal at your table, you eat l'shem shamayim, the consumption of the food, either by you, if you do it properly, or by the people you give it to, is a form of sacrifice. But what are we doing at our table that is reminiscent of the ketayres? And Rabbi, so let me ask you another question. What was the function of the ketayres? What did the ketayres accomplish? Smelled good. What did it do? What did it accomplish? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma that the purpose of the ketayres, it brought kapara for Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim, and all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara asks, what did the ketayres bring atonement for? Says the Gemara in Yuma Daf Mem Dalet, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, 3 lines in the end. Ama ketayres mechaperes al lashon hara. Ketayres atoned for lashon hara. Why? Right? Yeah. What does ketayres sound like? Nothing much. Sizzling. Right. It sounds like someone's chattering. It sounds like someone's, you know, speaking. So the ma'isa chashay, the silent burning of the ketayres, atoned for the silent chatter of lashon hara. So then what exactly are we doing at our table, which is in the place of ketayres, that atones for Lashon Hara. So we come to, right, if anything, we're trying to avoid speaking Lashon Hara. I mean, hopefully you don't speak Lashon Hara. But what are we doing at our table that is in the place of Ktairas that atones for Lashon Hara? So this pasuk that the Gemara in Brachos quoted, that a person's table is like a Mizbeach, is quoted elsewhere. It's quoted in Perkei Avos. What does the Mishnah tell us in Perkei Avos? Reb Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon says, Rabbi said, which Reb Shimon is this? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Shloisha sha'achla shulchan echad. Three people sitting at a table. V'lay amru alav divrei Torah. And they eat. And they shmooze. And they talk. And they eat some more. And they don't have epesa, yiddish avar to say. They don't have one piece of Torah to say. Kilu achlu mizivchei mesim. It's like they ate off an altar of idolatry. It's like they ate from the table of the dead. Shenemar, you know what God considers that table? Three people sitting around the table, they're eating and they don't say divrei Torah. You know what that's like? God says it's like vomit and soya. That's not a good thing. That's, yeah. Aval, shlosha sha'achla, shulchan echad, amrol of divrei Torah. But three people that sit around the table and they speak divrei Torah. Ki'ilu achlu mishulchanoi shalmakayim. It's like they ate from the table of God. Shenemar, vayedaber elai ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So Rabbi said, if a person speaks divrei Torah at the table, it's like you ate from the table of God. So putting two and two together, if the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that when you speak divrei Torah at the table, it's like you spoke at, it's like you ate from the table of God. And what pasuk does it quote? Zeh hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. And the Gemara in Brachos says that your table is like a mizbeach, like the pasuk says, Zeh hashulchan lifnei Hashem. So what do we do at our table that makes the table into the Mizbeach HaKetayres? Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah. Right? After all, the Ketayres was Maisa Chashay. It was the silent noise. So the Divrei Torah is reminiscent of the Ketayres. The words of Torah at the table are reminiscent at the Ketayres. Now, we're going to divert for a few moments and talk about the inyan of speaking Divrei Torah at the table. It's a very important thing. After all, the Mishnah says in Avos, if you eat at a table and you don't learn, bad news. So, what do we do? Do we do this? Do we not do this? Is benching good enough? Is Shir HaMalos good enough? Is Al Naros Bavo good enough? Is a bracha good enough? Comes Rebbe Avadim Bar Tanura, and the Bar Tanura says, don't get so hung up on the Divrei Torah business. If you're a frum Jew, what are you going to do after you eat? You're going to bench! Benching is divrei Torah. You know, you say v'achalta v'savata v'erachta. You say prayer. You say shvach. You say hoida. Birchas hamazon is sufficient. Bar Tanura says birchas hamazon shemavarchen al hashulchan yaitzim yedei chayvason. You're yaitze. Bar Tanura paskins. You don't have to learn, right? So you could breathe a sigh of relief, at least for 3 seconds. Comes the Tosfos Yamta, and Tosfos Yamta says one second. Benching is good enough. So you're telling me that, what's Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is telling you the basic laws, or Pirkei Avos is telling you mili de chasidus, pious practices? It's telling you pious practices. So you're telling me Reb Shimon is coming to writing in Pirkei Avos, when you eat at a table, say Berchas HaMazon. Atu Bereshi Askinon? Where Reb Shimon Aichai is talking to Rishayim, who eat at a meal and they don't bench? No. That's not how Reb Shimon Aichai is talking. He's talking to Frum Yidden, who bench, and he's saying, besides Berchas HaMazon, there's something else you have to do. You must learn. So we have a machloikis between the Bar Tanura and the Tosfos Yamtiv. Bar Tanura says benching, good enough. Tosfos Yamtiv says benching, not good enough. How do we paskin? Not good
enough. Hopefully, like the Tosfos Yamtiv.
So, Rabbi Avadya Yosef has an interesting middle ground for all you Sfaradim out there. And he says like this. The Mishnah says two extremes. The Mishnah says if you don't speak Divrei Torah, it's like you're eating from a Mizbeach of idolatry. If you do speak Divrei Torah, it's like you're eating from the Mizbeach of Hashem. So he says like this. If you don't even bench, it's like you're eating from a table of idolatry. If you say Berchas HaMazon, it's not an idolatry. But it's still not like the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. You want to reach the high level of the Mizbeach and Beis HaMikdash. For that, you need Divrei Torah. In other words, there's a middle ground. Berchas HaMazon is enough to get you out of Avodah Zarah. But if you want to reach the highest level of eating at the Mizbeach of Hashem, for that you need Divrei Torah Mamish. Aruch HaShulchan says, that we, nowadays, look at number 23 for a minute, V'yatzleinu yotzim b'mash ha'imrim al na'arayis badal. We hold, Aruch HaShulchan says, that your yotzei, if you sing before benching al na'arayis badal during the weekdays, or on Shabbos, if you say what? Shir HaMalos, that's good enough. But, ma'toivu ma'noim, if you could actually learn. So Aruch HaShulchan is saying, you know, these psalms, these kapitel of Tehillim, that is good enough. So when I mention Mishnah Brura, you know, Paisik Achrayin, Paskin Talach Lamaisa, that you need to learn. Interesting. Mishnah Brura number 22. The Mishnah Brura says, Mitzvah Kaladim Lomay Tara Al Shulchanai. It's a mitzvah to learn at the table. Shekol Shulchan Shalayam Rolav Devei Tarkilu Achla Mizav Chay Mesim. And he brings down from the Shla, you should learn a Mishnah, you should learn Halacha, Agada, Musar, and you're not Yotzei with Berchas Hamazon. So Mishnah Brura Paskins, Berchas Hamazon ain't gonna cut it. And then he says, you know what? If you can't learn, at least you'll say one Mizmar of Tehillim. You want some people say Mizmar, the David, Hashem Roy, La Yachzar. But the Mishnah Brura is definitely Paskining Berchas Hamazon ain't gonna cut it. Okay. But in any event, but I just want to mention there's a good trick. Ben Ishchai has a good trick. You know, even Ashkenazim could use the trick. And there is a halacha called Mayim Achroinim Chayva. It's a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Mayim Achroinim Chayva. Says the Ben Ishchai, besides the fact that it's a sif in Shulchan Aruch, and it's a short sif, before you wash your Mayim Achroinim before benching, by the way, it's a good thing you came tonight. You know, a person should wash Mayim Achroinim before they bench. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You know, people have different customs. Unless you have a specific custom going back to Moshe Rabbeinu that you don't wash Mayim Achroinim, the Shulchan Aruch says you should wash Mayim Achroinim. And the halacha is Mayim Achroinim Chayva. So say the halacha at every meal. You know, it's a Tuesday afternoon. You're having a peanut butter sandwich. And, you know, you only have 10 minutes to down it. And you got to run back to your job. And you realize, I didn't say Dvar Torah. Mayim Achroinim Chayva. You know, Wednesday night, you're on to the shir. And you realize, yeah, I have to go to the shir, but I also have to say Dvar Torah at my table. So that's, you know, if you only have, you know, 0.01 seconds.
Even if you don't wash?
Yeah, I mean, and maybe that will remind you to wash also. Yeah, but Mayim Achroinim Chayva, right? Three words, it's a quick halacha, and this way you would say the inyan of learning at the table,
right? You don't
need
a mezumin or anything for that.
No, you don't need a mezumin for Mayim Achroinim. Mayim Achroinim has nothing to do with mezumin. Okay, now let's talk a little bit conceptually. What is the function of Mayim Achroinim? What is the function of Divrei Torah at the table? The function of Divrei Torah. So there's a very interesting sefer, the Seder Hayoim. Seder Hayoim from Rav Moshe ben Machir, who is the author of a tefillah that we say every single day. Actually, it's the first tefillah we say in the morning. And he wrote the tefillah, Moide ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam shehachazarta bi nishmasi bechemla. Kama? Rabba Emunasach. Right? Not Bechemla Rabba. It's Bechemla, Kama, Rabba Emunasach. So he says like this. You know why we have to learn at the table? Very interesting. We want our eating to be considered like what? A carbon. So Hashem's looking down. You're telling me you're eating that burger because you want to sacrifice a carbon? You're offering something to me by eating that food? You're not thinking about me. You're thinking about the food. So how do you transform the achila into something of sanctity, says the Seder Hayoim? If you want your table to be like a mizbeach and your achila to be like a carbon, you need to inject some kedusha into the achila. How do you do that? By learning Torah, it transforms the eating. So that's an interesting role that Divrei Torah plays at the table. Reb Chaim Vital says another very interesting concept, why to say Divrei Torah at the table. And that is, if your table is like what? Mizbeach. And the achila is like a carbon. Any Levium over here? Gabi, you're a Levi. What were the Levium doing while the carbon is being brought? They're singing. So, what are you going to do? You're going to call a Levi every time you want to eat a meal to sing for you? No. So, what do? Saying Divrei Torah. Torah is a Shira. It's a Zimra. The words of Torah that you learn take the place of the Shira of the Levium while Karbanos are being brought. It's amazing. Right? The learning of Torah that a person does at the table takes the place of the song of the Leviim. Okay. But what we're suggesting, Rabbi Isai, is that learning Torah at the table has another function. What's the third function? Besides the singing of the Leviim, besides transforming the Achila into a carbon, it's the Ketores. It's the Ketores. By the way, this Chiddush from the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, Tavshin Ayin Gimel, a few parashiyos ago, this point that I just said. So the eating, the words of Torah, Rav Chaim Vital says it's the Shira of the Leviim. The Seder Ayam says it transforms the Achila. And what we're saying is that the saying Divrei Torah is the Hakravas HaKetores. It's the Ketores. And how beautiful it is. Because what was the purpose of the Ketores? It atoned for Lashon Hara. What's the Kapara for Lashon Hara? Divrei Torah. The Gemara Nerechim Tezvav Amud Beis says, Matak Anaser Shabali Lashon Hara. If a person spoke Lashon Hara, how do you rectify it? You do tshuva. But you need to use your mouth to be mesakein mida kenegen mida. You use your mouth to speak words of Lashon Hara. So the way to rectify it is to speak words of Torah. But what we're going to have to explain is, if today the Ketores is the Divrei Torah, then why isn't my Torah in the Beis Medrash good enough? Why do I have to go eat and then speak Divrei Torah? I'm sitting the whole day, I'm learning Daf Yoimi, and I'm learning Omer Yoimi, and Chafetz Chaim Yoimi, and Tanakh Yoimi, and I have Siddurim the whole day. No, that's not going to fix it. I have to eat a sandwich and then learn. That's going to fix my Lashon Hara. Why specifically at the table? By the way, I just want to point out, divert for a few moments. Very interesting. When should you learn at the table? Before you eat or after you eat?
After.
So I would have said before, right? You're always supposed to take care of Chefzei Shamayim before your own needs. You're always supposed to, right? You're not to eat before davening. You daven first and then you eat. You're always supposed to take care of the needs of heaven before your own needs. And yet we find in a number of sources that when it comes to Divrei Torah at the table, you're supposed to eat first and then learn. Why? Very interesting. So the Al-Sheikh says, the Al-Sheikh in Parshas Achrimos, he says a very interesting reason why you should first eat. The Gemara says, Shemaitza bo yitzilusa. In order to learn properly, you need a clear head. So if you want to say a good Dvar Torah, if you're famished and you're starving, you know, the Dvar Torah is not going to come out good. So first you eat, satisfy yourself, your mind is clear, and then you could say over a good Vart, a good Shtikl Torah. That's one reason why one should first eat, and then he should learn. Another reason is offered in the Sefer called Sefer HaChaim, from the brother of the Maral Prague. He says like this. He says, you know, the whole day you're looking forward to your dinner, right? The whole day. From the moment you got up, you're looking at your watch. When am I going to eat supper already, right? What's for supper? You called your wife 5 times, what's for supper, right? You planned a week ago, right? You told her, and you've been looking forward to supper. And then, finally, you get home, and after 1 minute, the supper's gone. What happened? You've been looking forward to this for 7 days, and now the supper's gone. And now you're thinking about, I've been looking forward for so long, and now I have nothing good to look forward after I ate it. Right? You're saying, that's what I was looking forward to, and now all it's doing, it's causing me problems. After a person eats, he's able to recognize the emptiness, the futility, the hevel of achila. How a person gets so caught up in the achila, and it's gone so quickly. And what do you have to show for it? Nothing too good. Right? So after you eat, then a person is in the proper frame of mind to understand what the point of life is. Before you eat, you're too caught up. You're too engrossed in what you're about to do. After you eat, you realize that which you've been looking forward to is not all it's cut out to be. Right? Like the Stipler says, well, you know, you're looking forward to the piece of steak. You can't get the whole thing in your mouth at one time. Right? So all you can get in your mouth is, you know, maybe this amount. This little thing over here of, you know, artery clogging material, that's what you've been looking forward to. This thing over here, this tiny thing, what's it going to do for you? So but before you eat it, you're not going to understand that. After you eat it, then you realize what the purpose of life is. And then he says an amazing thing. How many eyes do you have? Two. How many ears?
Two.
One, two nostrils, right? And one mouth, right? Uh-huh. So we know the Bali Musa says it's to show that, you know, don't talk too much. But the Sefer HaChaim says another reason. Shavi is Kodesh, right? We know the seventh day of the week is holy. The seventh year is Shemitah. The seventh Shemitah is Yoiva. The Shvi, number seven, is holy. What's number seven? Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils. Number seven is your mouth. You have to use your mouth for Kedusha. And then he says something very interesting. He says, that's what Chazal mean. We know there's halacha. You have to feed your animals before you feed yourself. You know what that's a remez to? The animal refers to your body. Yourself refers to your neshama. Before you feed your neshama by learning at the table, first feed the animal, the behema. What's that? The guf. That's what Chazal mean. Before you, right, it's halacha. You know, if a person has a pet, a goldfish, it's halacha. You have to feed your animal before you feed yourself. But also, before you feed your neshama, first you give to the guf. Rabbi Yisrael Ben Ishchai says a very interesting thing. Why did Hashem make it that we learn Torah with the same orifice that we eat? You ever wonder about that? Right? Would anybody ever put food on a Sefer Torah? Chas v'shalom. So why did Hashem make it that the mouth that we learn with? So it says like this. Think about how you ate supper. Right? Did anybody ever fall asleep in the middle of supper? Most people, when they're eating supper, you know, they're looking forward. They're eating it with geshmak, with cheshek, biava, besimcha, beratzoin. So when you open up the Gemara and you start to learn, you should take a musar. How did I just use my mouth to eat? That's how I should use my mouth to learn, with the same geshmak, with the same cheshek, with the same ratzoin. That's what it means, says the Ben Ishchai. Ein kiddush, ela b'makayim suda. You know how you sanctify your mouth? When you realize that it's in the same place as your suda was. That's what it means. Okay. So, Rabbi Yisrael, what we're learning is that the Divrei Torah at the table serve a very important function. It transforms the achila into a carbon. It takes the place of the shira of the Levium. And what we are saying today is from the Vilna Gaon, that the Shulchan spells out Shecheles, Levaina, Chelbana, Nataf. The Divrei Torah that a person speaks at the table is the place of Ketores, which is Mechaper for what? Lashon Hara. Why are we specifically Mechaper for Lashon Hara at the table? Rabbi Yisrael, where does most Lashon Hara take place?
At the table.
At the table. When you're eating, you're sitting around, you're schmoozing, you're eating, you're gossiping. So you have to be misaking the Lashon Hara in the same place. In fact, if you look, where does the Torah say don't speak Lashon Hara? Loi Seilech Rachel Ba'amecha. What does Targum Unkel say? Loi Seilech means Loi Seichlon, don't eat Rachel. Kortzen. Look at the Targum. Take a look on your sheets. Toward the end. Number 33. The Targum Unkel translates. Loi Seilech Rachel Ba'amecha. Loi Teichol Kortzen. Don't eat winks. Not winkies. Winks. What does that mean? You know, Bali Lashon Hara, if you're a good Bali Lashon Hara, I'm not going to tell you all the tricks, but if you want to be a good Bali Lashon Hara, Bali Lashon Hara, you don't want to say it outright. You're going to say outright what the guy is. You say in general, you know, people are so, you know, this and this, and then you wink at the guy you're talking about. That's the way Bali Lashon Hara do it. That's what Rashi says it. Right? Don't eat winks. Winks is refers to Lashon Hara. Why don't eat? Says Rashi. Because where do people speak Lashon Hara? They sit down to a meal and they're kaveya suda over Lashon Hara. So then, therefore, if the function of Divrei Torah is the Ketores, and Ketores is Mechaper for Lashon Hara, makes a lot of sense. You have to specifically do it at the meal. That's the place where the Lashon Hara happens. Like Seilech Rachel B'Amecha, Lashon Hara takes place at the suda. Rabbi Yisrael, I'm going to tell you something. It's mind-boggling. You know, you think you ate a meal. Big deal. I said avart. I didn't say avart. Is it such a big deal? I'm going to tell you what one Dvar Torah at a meal could change the course of Jewish history. Okay? And this is not an over-exaggeration. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah Look in Megillah Yubez Amadez. Right? It says in Megillah Sester, Parak Aleph, it was the seventh day of the Suda. Bayoyim Hashvi Ketoyv Lev HaMelech Bayan. It was the seventh day. And the king's heart was satisfied with wine, you know? So Gemara asks, and yet he's been drinking for 186 days. Well, until now he didn't drink enough. Now, the 187th day, now all of a sudden he drank enough. Why all of a sudden now does he bring out Vashti? Says the Gemara Amar Rava, Yom Hashvi Shabbos Haya. The seventh day was Shabbos. What do Jews do on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Yisrael Oichlin, Jews eat. The Shoysin, they drink. Maschilin, and what do Jews start to talk about? Divrei Torah. Divrei Tishbachos. What do Goyim talk about at a meal? Aval Oivei Koichavim, but Goyim. Oichim, they eat. The Shoysin, they drink. They don't start to speak Divrei Torah. They don't start to say a vart from the Vilna Gaon. What do they say? Ein Maschilin Ela B'Divrei Tiflus. They speak foolishness. They speak about lewd topics. They speak about immorality. And the Kach Hava, the Gemara tells us, that a fight broke out at the Suda. The Madian, the Medians, started to say, "Ah, our women, they're the most beautiful." And the Persians started to say, no. The Parparasian, the Persian women, they're the most beautiful. So Achashverosh is getting involved. Achashverosh said, "No, you're both wrong. My wife, she's from Bavel. She's going to top them all." So they said, "Yeah, prove it." So they brought out Vashti in compromised circumstances. Okay. As the Ben Yoyada, right? Who wrote the Ben Yoyada? Ben Ishchai, right? A lot of Ben Ishchai today. Ben Ishchai, Oyd Yosef Chai, Ben Yoyada. Right. He says like this. Right? So Gemara's telling you, how did Vashti end up coming out? Because a fight broke out. These said, our wives are more beautiful. These said, our wives are more beautiful. Achashverosh said, no, it's my wife. So fine. Why does the Gemara interject that Jews, when they eat, they speak Divrei Torah? What's that got to do with anything? The Gemara's trying to explain to me how Vashti ended up coming and parading herself. You know how? Because a fight broke out, and Achashverosh says, my wife's the most beautiful, and they brought out Vashti. Who cares that Jews speak Divrei Torah at the table? Says the Ben Yoyada, you ready for this? Because you would... Now, Rabbi, I would like to suggest that when the Gemara says, they were nene from the Suda of Achashverosh, it's not that they ate the food was kosher. But the Jews took pleasure from the conversation. From the conversation. That's what it means, they were nana. They were nana from the conversation. By the way, very important, you know, people work in offices and goyim. All they talk about is immoral. They talk about nashim. They talk about immoral concepts. Right? A Jew doesn't participate in those conversations. We don't talk about opposite genders. It's not appropriate. We don't comment on that. Goyim, you know, that's what they talk about. A Jew chas v'shalom to involve in that kind of conversation. Perhaps what the Gemara means, they were nene from the Suda, means they were nene from the conversation. Says the Ben Yehoyada, why is the Gemara telling us that they were Jews who were speaking Divrei Torah? Listen to this. Because you may be bothered by the following question. How could it be that the Jews are sinning, they're being nene from the Suda of Achashverosh, and God is saving them at that very moment by having Vashti killed? Does that make any sense? At the very moment, the Jews are doing a terrible avera, being nene from the Suda. God is killing Vashti and allowing Esther to become queen? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. At the moment the Jews are sinning, God's saving us? What's the answer? Because even though at that moment some Jews were sinning, some Jews were doing something out of this world. They were saying a Dvar Torah at the meal. And because they spoke a Dvar Torah at the meal, the Jewish people were saved from Haman. Well, that is a major concept, right? You know, that's an earth-shattering concept. That's an earth-shattering idea, right? If we were to ask, what did Klal Yisrael do that God saved us from Haman? Right? That means, think about it. The entire Jewish people were going to be annihilated. How did we overcome that? 2 minutes Dvar Torah at the Suda. That's what Ben Yoyada says. That the Divrei Torah, Klal Yisrael spoke at Suda, at the Suda, saved the entire Jewish people. Amazing. That's what he says. That's what the man says.
It also got us into trouble,
says the Ksav Sofer, listen to this. Ksav Sofer writes in a tshuva, why is there a mitzvah of Sudas Purim on Purim? Why do we have a Suda? For what? To commemorate what? Because what do Jews do at the Suda? At a Suda, they speak Divrei Torah. And since the whole salvation of Purim came about through speaking Divrei Torah at a Suda, Chazal were masakein to have a Suda on Purim and then speak Divrei Torah to commemorate what saved us. That's a new reason for Suda's Purim. Yeah, you have to remember that. Another 363 days, right? You have to remember that. The reason for Suda's Purim is to commemorate how the Jewish people were saved. But it's good to remember for every meal. It's good to remember for every meal that in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to speak words of Torah at a meal is something momentous, something monumental, something incredible. It looms very large in the eyes of Hashem. That is what saved us from Haman. And that gives us a new insight, Rabbi Yisai, into what the Ramah says. Before you start your meal, you should learn your Sudas Purim. The Ramah says, learn something. La Yehudim Haisa Aira is Taira. The Simcha is the Sudas Purim. Well, what's this, just a remez? No, the Ramah is alluding to this concept that the whole purpose, the whole Yeshua of Purim came about through Divrei Torah at the meal. That is why Rabbi Yisai, Rabbeinu Ephraim tells us, one of the Rishonim, he tells us, you know, in Parshas Chumah, the Aron, which housed the Luchos, the Torah, was juxtaposed to the Shulchan to tell you that what do you have to do at your table? Learn something. And we'll conclude with the following. Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Chumah tells us, anybody know what was the Shulchan made out of in the Mishkan? Atze? Shittim. Shittim wood. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, what does Shittim spell out? Shalom. Taiva, Yeshua, Mechila, four important things that we all want. Peace, goodness, salvation, atonement. Shittim, Shalom, Taiva, Yeshua, Mechila. If a person, you know, uses his table properly, it is a tremendous pipeline, a tremendous avenue to gain great bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Peace, Taiva, Yeshua, Mechila. You know, a person, if they were think, you know, what's the most important thing in their house? What's the most important thing in their house? Right? Well, what's the holiest item in their house? Their svarim, their books, Sefer Torah. What's the most important? Make the case. The most important item in one's house is your table. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, you bring people to your table, you feed people food, you give them good company, a good meal. It's like being makriv a carbon. The Divrei Torah, you're emulating the Levim, Shira and the Beis Hamikdash. You're transforming your Achila. The Divrei Torah is like Haktaras Ketaras. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, amazing thing. In France, in the Middle Evil Ages, in Sarfas, people used to take, when a person passed away, they would take the table and they would make it into their coffin. Why? Because people understood the most important thing that they wanted to take with them is what they did at their table. What they did at their table. Yeah, Rabbeinu Bechaye writes that in France, right, in the early 12th century, people would take their table because you have such an opportunity. When you sit down to your table, you're not just sitting down to a table. It's the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it's the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you have the Levim there, you have Karbanos, Chatos, Asham, Oila. Amazing thing, a tremendous thing. And that's the pshat in the pasuk, that although there are 11 ingredients of the ketores, what are the most important ones? The ones that bring out this idea that a person's table is like the shulchan, is like the mizbeach, shecheles, levina, chelbana, nataf, rabbeisai. Have a wonderful evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.